That is the way things are.
Ministry of Truth. I'm Gordon Comstock, and I've been down so many other matrix holes. I've been exposed to so many matrixes now. I might as well take another red pill today. Here we go. I have just read a 27-page document on the subject of vaccinations from our guest today, Dr. Rebecca Carley. And man, oh man, everything appears to be upside. Truth is upside down, and the mainstream world, it is totally wrong. It appears to me again, as I have already found in so many other cases. It looks like we're dealing with another geocentric Earth theory that someday, hopefully, will be imploded. Dr. Rebecca Carley, welcome aboard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for this information, man. This photograph is pretty shocking. You have a baby that's being stabbed by a bunch of needles here. It's very, it's saddening, and it should be.
Yes. Well, I just want to say, first of all, the document that you're referring to is on my website, drcarley.com, drcarley.com, entitled Inoculations, the Two Weapons of Mass Destruction, and I would encourage your listeners to check it out, because you'll see that I've offered a $10,000 reward to any vaccine promoter to come on one of the many radio shows that I do and debate me on this issue, and they will not, because, of course, they realize at some level, the ones at the top know exactly what they're doing. The ones, the pediatricians and just the robots that are doing this atrocity at the direction of the higher-ups may not realize the extent of which they're causing disease, but certainly they should start be asking themselves some questions now, as more and more children are coming down with the diseases at a rate that we've never seen before in history, while they're trying to tell us that, of course, inoculations are a good thing. A bigger lie has never been told.
Thank you for giving that. We'll definitely get that from you at the end again also. Dr. Carley, are you telling me what I'm getting from this article is Louis Pasteur's entire germ theory is bogus?
Not only is Louis Pasteur's germ theory bogus, but it was corrupted by some information by a man that was alive at the same time that I never learned about in medical school, by the name of Antoine Bachamp. And what Antoine Bachamp theorized and then eventually proved with his experiments, which even by the standards of 100 years ago were very advanced, Antoine Bachamp proved that it's not the germs that cause disease, it's actually a toxic body which causes very pathologic germs to form in the body, because the germs are actually able to mutate one to another. And when your body is toxic, these germs are actually formed because they believe you're dying, the germs do, and their job is to decompose you. So Antoine Bachamp had proven that it's actually a toxic body which causes you to have infections with these different organisms. Louis Pasteur corrupted that notion, but on his deathbed, he did admit that it is the, you know, the cellular milieu, it is the terrain that makes the difference. He did admit that on his deathbed. But the reason that medical students only learn about Pasteur is because his germ theory goes along with exactly what the pharmaceutical cartels want people to believe, and this is how they sell all their antivirals and antibiotics.
And they're tied into the oil cartel, are they not?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, boy.
They're all tied in together. It's the medical, industrial, pharmaceutical, military complex, basically.
So, what you're saying is these vaccines build up a toxemia in the blood, and then it results later on in all kinds of Sometimes you will get the disease from which you were supposedly inoculated from, but sometimes you'll die from other things. Like,
yes,
the things I came across in your article, SIDS.
Sudden infant death syndrome.
Now that's apparently...
That's vaccine-induced disease.
Wow.
Yes, if I could just give the big picture first, mm-hmm. because I like to let people see the totality of it all. The inoculations hurt you on two levels, one of which is, as you said, they're inoculating you with disease. And I always ask people, explain to me what happens, whereas a mosquito would inoculate you with a virus, and that's going to cause you a problem, and that's a bad thing, and they're telling everybody to get rid of the standing water on their property so that mosquito larvae will not hatch, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that if a mosquito with his tiny little proboscis should sting you and inject you with these things, then that's bad, but if a white coat with a syringe does the same, all of a sudden it becomes a good thing? Where's the magic that occurs? So, of course, they are inoculating you with disease. Not to mention the mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, and all kinds of other things that are
yes.
in the vaccines. But as I explain in my paper, Inoculations of True Weapons of Mass Destruction, the very mechanism whereby these viruses especially are inoculated into your body, it bypasses a very important part of the immune system involving something called secretory IgA, which is a antibody that's found in the upper respiratory and GI tracts. And this antibody is critical as a pathogen is processed for you to get natural immunity. If you bypass that and inoculate somebody directly into their bloodstream with a virus or a bacteria, you're bypassing that, and that actually causes a corruption of the immune system whereby the B cells, which are the white cells that secrete antibody, they go into a hyperactive phase, and the T cells, which are like the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to gobble up these bacteria and viruses, become paralyzed. So what the vaccines are actually doing is causing all autoimmune diseases and cancer. And I'm proving that not only in my document, which no one can refute, and which I'm constantly finding more validation with, you know, by different articles that are being published by the medical mafia, but I'm also proving that with my work, because I've developed a protocol which reverses all autoimmune diseases and cancer. I have clients all over the world, and I don't need to see people. I take a very detailed history, and using homeopathic remedies and other natural supplements to repair the damage, I'm actually able to reverse all these processes. And the key thing that I do that nobody else does is detox the vaccine viruses. And this is, as I said, reversing all autoimmune diseases and cancer. So with my work, I'm proving that I'm right. And with my documents, I'm explaining the mechanism. And, of course, I've had many things happen to me because of this. Initially, I was so naive as to think that my profession would embrace me and say, oh, thank you for, you know, enlightening us that we didn't realize the stupidity of what we've been doing all these years. But instead of doing that, they came after me with a vengeance. So that's when I realized that the people at the highest levels know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, they came after Galileo with a vengeance, too.
Yes. Funny how that works out.
Yeah. Now, one way that I had heard about you, Dr. Carley, was you a couple of years ago you were on the Visigoth's Grassy Knoll show.
Uh-huh.
Another way, however, and this was just coincidence, is a friend of mine has an autistic son, and so they were working with you to detoxify him.
Uh-huh.
Now, autism is at epidemic proportions, and is it not caused by one of these byproducts, one of these preservatives in the... by the mercury in the vaccine?
No, actually, that is the biggest fraud that's being perpetrated now in the world,
mm-hmm.
because, you see, what they want people to believe is that since they were wrong in putting the mercury in the vaccines, that if they remove the mercury, that the vaccines will be safe.
Oh.
And yes, it is true that mercury is a neurotoxin, and it has no business being in any, not only vaccine, but any amalgam filling as well. But you see, the autism is due to measles antibody, or it can actually also be against an antibody against the nerve tissue itself caused by the measles vaccine due to something called molecular mimicry, which I explain in my paper. But the key thing for people to know is that the MMR vaccine has never had mercury. What autism actually is, and this is explained on another document on my website, which is my response to the CDC's Public Health Protection Guide, which explains, as I went back into the medical books, I actually found that different diseases were in fact being described, which are sudden infant death syndrome and autism. Autism, for example, is actually something called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. In my medical book, Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, which is the Bible by which medical students all over the world learn internal medicine, they describe this entity called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. They actually admit that it is occasionally caused by the measles vaccine. Of course, you know, they're only admitting that some cases are caused by it, because if they admitted the extent of it, it would be self-evident that it is, in fact, the same thing as autism. But when you read the description of this entity, you realize that they are describing autism. And that's when I realized that what they're doing to hide the true extent of the problem is they're merely changing the name of the disease. So they took subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, a very serious neurological condition which they admit is caused by the measles virus, including by the measles vaccine, and they changed it into a psychiatric problem known as autism. Sudden infant death syndrome is another example. There's an entity called acute hemorrhagic necrotizing encephalomyelitis. They have to use these big words, of course, in Harrison's, which when you read the description, you realize it is sudden infant death syndrome and many cases of shaken baby syndrome. And the key feature, which gave me chills when I read it, is they actually stated in my medical book that the way that they experimentally produce this condition in animals is to give them the pertussis vaccine. So here they're admitting that the pertussis vaccine causes this demyelination, which is so overwhelming in its totality and so devastating that it leads to death. It actually causes the brain to liquefy and turn into mush. And they admit that they cause this in animals with a pertussis vaccine.
Pertussis, is that whooping cough? Which one is that?
Yes. Well, the DTP is the vaccine that's included in. And yes, pertussis is what's known as a whooping cough.
It is. Okay.
But the key thing for people to realize is that these things are actually in the medical book. So then one could say, you know, Dr. Carley, you read these books in medical school. Why didn't you figure it out? Well, the reason you don't figure it out is because, you know, you don't see the forest but for the trees. They have the truth in these books, but it's buried so deep amongst the rest of the propaganda that in your sleep-deprived, nutritionally-deprived state, which all medical students are in intentionally so that they will not be able to have their common sense be activated, you know, you read these things and you just say, oh, okay, that's how they experimentally produce it in people, in animals, and you don't let it into your conscious mind that this is what's going on. But it's very interesting what's happening with the autism, because the parents of autistic children, no matter how much the medical mafia states that there's no proof that the MMR vaccine is associated with autism, there's too many parents which saw with their own eyes their normal child become, you know, somebody who can't look them in the eyes, who can no longer speak, who's flapping their hands, banging their heads against the wall. There's many different levels of severity with this condition, but they saw it with their own two eyes that they had a normal child that became very sickly, and no matter what the doctors say to them, they, of course, put two and two together. That is why they came out with this disinformation regarding mercury, because, as I said, they want people to believe that they just made a stupid mistake, oh dear, we should have not done that, and that they'll now take the mercury out, as they're purporting they've done. But if there's still many vaccines, including the flu vaccine, which contain mercury, they want people to believe that if they take the mercury out, everything will be fine. But as I said, a greater lie has never been told. They want people to believe that vaccinations are the best invention, you know, since sliced bread, as far as medicine goes, And what my work proves is that it's causing the biggest epidemic the world has ever known, which are vaccine-induced diseases, which includes all autoimmune diseases and cancer. And it's gotten so bad now, it's not even just a matter of the immune system being corrupted so that the cancer cells that we all have, because that's part of life as we're exposed to all these different toxins, we do produce cancer cells. But if you have a working immune system and the T cells are doing their job, they will gobble up any cancer cells. But it's worse than just that corruption now. They've actually developed viruses that cause cancer. And they're coming out with this now. Everybody's probably heard about this human papillomavirus vaccine, Gardasil, which they've actually now legislated in Texas. Actually, the governor made an executive order mandating that all young girls get this vaccine. So they're now admitting that viruses can cause cancer. What they're not telling you is that they're making the viruses that cause cancer. And I have proof of everything I say. There's something called the Special Virus Cancer Program, which the National Institute of Health and various other alphabet agencies are affiliated with. It's been going on since the late 60s. I have probably 3,000 pages of documents over various years of this program, and it specifies all the experiments they're doing to cause every kind of cancer you can imagine. As a matter of fact, one of the books that I have actually states that breast cancer is in almost all cases caused by a virus. They have known this since the late 60s. Now, you're not hearing about that in the mainstream media, of course. And also, you have to ask yourself, if they know that it's being caused by a virus, well, how come all these women are getting breast cancer? Apparently, this virus is spreading. And how is it spreading? Well, the vaccines are highly involved, I can assure you.
Man, oh man, I tell you, looking at this, going through this article, and then as I mentioned before, I have just barely got into the book, The Poisoned Needle by Eleanor McBean. Her
yes.
conclusions are the same as yours. I am beset with questions to ask you. Too many. I tell you.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to make one very important statement for your listeners. I have not read that book that you just quoted.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to find that book, so I would ask you to email me the source of wherever you got that book, because I definitely want to add that to my library. However, one of the most important books I've ever read by the same authors called Vaccinations, the Silent Killer. And in that book, she actually proves, her and her co-author, Ida Onaroff, that the 1918 flu epidemic was caused by inoculations given to soldiers in World War I.
Yes.
You see, she proves that. And one of the most amazing things in that book was a discussion about the 1970s swine flu vaccine they came up with. A few individuals affiliated with that book actually brought a federal lawsuit to stop the swine flu inoculation. And the case was dismissed against, that these people brought against the federal government. The judge told them that they had no standing in court to bring such a lawsuit. And when they inquired as to how they would get standing, the judge's response was they would have to get the vaccine and then die. So they would have to be dead in order to get standing. The judge actually made that statement. And that's beyond the pale.
In your reading of McBean's work, does she get in, because she does a little bit here so far, does she get into the origins, the early origins of vaccination history?
I don't recall. It's a very short book. It's only like 100 or so pages. I don't recall her getting into the origins, although many other people have done that. And I just want to say that I only found her book about a year ago.
Okay.
So that was an amazing experience for me to find another author who said pretty much the same thing that I did. It was total validation, although she does not describe the mechanism whereby the immune system is corrupted. But there's many books that describe the history of vaccines. And as it turns out, it goes back even before Edward Jenner in England started to inoculate people with smallpox, or actually cowpox virus, from milkmaids that had, you know, developed cowpox from milking cows. He inoculated people with this, believing that it would protect them from smallpox. In fact, killed his own son and another boy by the name of Edward Phipps. by inoculating them at a young age, and they eventually died of tuberculosis, the two of them. So the most people that check into the history goes back to Edward Jenner, but in fact it goes back before then. But the very idea that you can protect somebody from anything by injecting it into their body, you see, that's where the insanity comes in. And people have to ask themselves, and I would encourage them to ask their white coats, explain to me why a mosquito injecting me with a virus is a bad thing, but when you inject me with it, it's not a bad thing. You know, let them answer that question. They cannot.
A little inconsistency there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, oh man, she does go in to talk about Jenner and what he did to those two boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so quick to take the credit for curing these diseases through vaccination. Well, he was a quack doctor, and he didn't cure anything.
Well, not only that, he actually bought his medical license. I forget what university he bought it from, but he paid something like £15 back in those days for his medical license. And you see, once again, just like in the case of Louis Pasteur, his disinformation is spread widely because of the fact that it goes along with what the medical mafia wants people to do, which is take their toxic drugs in order to, you know, take care of the problems that the vaccines are in large part causing. But yes, I mean, he's a total fraud. And it's just amazing to me that this information about him buying his medical license and other things is not well known to the public. They've pretty much made him into a hero because it goes along with their agenda.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned they're changing the names of diseases to get around the fact that these vaccines are still causing the diseases, and that's totally an Orwellian thing to do when you when you monkey around with language like that in order to alter people's thoughts.
Speak, I think they call it in 1984, yes.
And I'm a huge Orwell fan, and something that struck me reading through this stuff, enforced vaccinations started in the latter part of the 1800s and continued on to the beginning of the 20th century in England.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when you had a lot of people, a large outbreak of tuberculosis in England, and George Orwell being one of the victims of tuberculosis at a pretty young age. And doggone, it isn't tuberculosis one of the things that you can get from these, the buildup of these toxins from the vaccines?
Well, certainly. Well, not only that, but there's actually a tuberculosis vaccine called BCG, which many people have gotten, which, of course, they're giving you tuberculosis, the same as any other of these organisms that they're injecting you with. They don't give the BCG in this country, but they give something called the Tyne test, where they're inoculating you with proteins from the same organism, and of course this can cause the same phenomena. But what I want people to realize is that, you know, they are intentionally doing these things. There's no way that it cannot be intentional when they have all these viruses that they're making to cause cancer. And it's a pretty well-known fact at this point that the AIDS organism, whatever it turns out that that is, was actually created in laboratories in the United States and put into vaccines that were given to the gay community back in the, you know, 70s.
And in the heart of Africa.
Pardon me?
And in the heart of Africa.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, what they're doing is they're basically stealing Africa's natural resources by wiping out all the adults. And once mm-hmm. the adults are wiped out, of course, the children's become orphans. And, you know, the various countries like the United States and England will move in out of the goodness of their hearts and, you know, take charge of these poor orphans, but in the meantime be stealing all of their natural resources. And apparently that's the plan.
If anybody doubts that, go read the book Emerging Viruses by Len Horowitz.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's very clear. And he was the one that I initially learned about the documentation that, in fact, the government did create this organism. And that is so heinous. And, you know, what's really upsetting is that I have been talking about this for almost 10 years now. In the beginning, it was, you know, kind of a regular thing that people would kind of look at me funny and, you know, just be aghast and not want to believe this. But over the last few years, there's not a single person that I've said this to who even bats an eyelash. And that's what's really amazing to me, is that everybody knows. Everybody knows about this. 9/11 was an inside job. There's so many conspiracy facts that people are aware of, and yet they do nothing. They continue to do nothing out of fear, out of just figuring, oh, there's nothing we can do. But I'm here to tell you folks that all we have to do is start asking these people hard questions. I do not promote violence. That is not a solution to anything. But if enough people with a backbone stood up and started asking hard questions of these serpents in the District of Criminals, who are alleging to have our best interests at heart, but of course are selling us out every day, things would change in a heartbeat, and that's what we need to do, is let them know we're not going to fund these projects anymore. Because America is really incurring some serious karma by all the things that are going on, and the people that know it and do nothing are responsible, because silence is consent.
Yeah, I was amazed to find out that Eleanor McBean had written this book in 1974.
Yes.
Nothing's been done, or not much has been done since then, to get the word out.
Well, not only that, but I'm very involved in vaccines, and I just found out about that book within the last couple of years. So, you know, these, and that to me is the most important book, Vaccination is a Silent Killer. I have not read the other book she wrote, but that is the most important book in my library, and everybody should try to get that book. It's very difficult to find. I got mine off eBay. But once you start reading some of these books, and bring them with you to your white coat and ask them some hard questions, that's what we need to start doing. They cannot defend themselves. And I actually have on my website, drcarly.com, a number of questions that I encourage people to ask their white coat when they go to the doctor. And there's two different categories, one for autoimmune diseases and one for cancer and AIDS. And the responses I get back from my clients are hysterical when they ask these questions. The last question in each series being, do you know how to take toxins out or just put toxins in? Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, do you ever cure anything? I've had people tell me the doctor runs to the bathroom, they get an emergency phone call. In a couple of cases, if the person was a bit animated and raised their voice, they even start saying, well, are you harassing me, and imply that there's some criminal conduct going on. So once you start really asking them direct questions about these issues, there's nothing they can say. And I do not want to scare people, because all people have to realize is that if your immune system is working, there is nothing that you cannot take care of yourself. And that's why the key for healing is for people to learn what's bad for them and stop doing it, to detoxify themselves. And I use homeopathy to do that, because it's like a surgical strike approach against the various toxins, not just vaccine viruses, but pesticides, heavy metals, everything. And also, of course, to eat a healthy diet, to eat organically. There's many things that you can do to keep yourself healthy, and then you don't have to be afraid of whatever they're coming up with. Our bodies have the ability to fight it off if we would just stop going to the people that are actually causing the problem.
Dr. Carly, let's briefly get back to the man-made nature of this. Is it your conclusion then, and I think it is from reading this, that this thing is it's a plan, a genocidal plan on behalf of these eugenics ruling oligarchs, Nazis?
There's no question. As a matter of fact, there's documents that I have where Kissinger actually stated in a hearing before Congress that the population is growing too rapidly and we have to decrease the population. Actually, they want to decrease the population to World War II levels. And you see, their wars are working somewhat well at decreasing the population of the world, but it's not working well enough. So what better way to decrease the population than to do it covertly by giving people diseases, believing that they're actually going for treatment? And just think of how evil this is. You're actually paying for your own demise, and it's not only that you're going to die, but you're going to die such a painful death, suffering. I mean, many of these different conditions, like if you have an autoimmune attack on the kidneys, you go into renal failure, you end up on dialysis, you know, diabetes, you can end up going blind, et cetera, losing limbs. It's just pure evil. And there's no question that it's being done for genocidal reasons. But see, they're making money off it along the way. It's just like with the war. You know, we have Halliburton and all these other companies making billions of dollars off the war that's a fake war to begin with. So not only are they causing the problems, but they're charging us for the service of evil.
Yeah, yeah. And the AIDS virus, the fact that they can tune that, genetically tune that to go after blacks and homosexuals. I have wondered recently if the fact that autism targets males is not a designed thing. Just, I mean, reading 1984, where the part where you get into Emmanuel Goldstein's book, and it talks about from time immemorial, the ruling class has to always worry about keeping the middle class down, because that's really the only threat to their power base.
Yeah.
And especially, I think, men, because men, when they get angry, they hit back. But you keep them dumbed down on porn and sports, and then you also keep them genetically weakened. Man, I'm just wondering, that's just speculation, but this the whole autism thing, because it does target males.
Yes. Well, it's a very good point, and the only thing that, I mean, it's self-evident that obviously testosterone is involved. The Y chromosome makes you more susceptible. How they've actually done that, I have no idea. But there's many examples of them targeting genetically and race-wise. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that the condition known as vitiligo, where people of color have these white patches on their skin, are actually developing this condition because of some melanin derivative that they're putting into the vaccines. Melanin being the protein that makes your skin have the dark color. And so once you develop antibodies against the melanin, it attacks your own melanocytes, and this is why these people have these patches of white. Now, whether or not that's being done just as a way to further bring them down, because, of course, this is a very serious condition and socially, it causes them to be ostracized and things of that nature, but it may also be some kind of a marker for other things that were given in the vaccine.
Mm.
They're putting human chorionic gonadotropin in vaccines, which is a hormone women secrete when they're first pregnant. When you develop antibodies against that, if you get pregnant down the line, you will abort your child. So that's another population reduction technique. There's so many things that they're doing with these vaccines, and one of the most frightening, and I actually have an article from Scientific American, I believe it was from 1999, it's one of the references in my paper, Inoculations of True Weapons of Mass Destruction, where they talk about DNA vaccines that they're now developing now. They're actually taking rings of DNA called plasmids and putting them in vaccines and injecting them into people. And what that's going to do is actually introduce foreign DNA into your very genetic structure. And they can cause this DNA change to result in anything that they would want. And this will be passed along to your children. This will be longitudinally transmitted. So they're actually playing around with our very genetic structure.
Mm. Let me ask you, Dr. Carley, about a couple of the notorious examples where I've been told all my life that vaccinations were the wonder cure.
Of course.
Well, I'll go with the smaller example first. Rabies. Now, didn't Pasteur develop a cure for rabies through the infamous shots in the belly?
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, although, of course, you know, they scare people about rabies, and they're always telling people, oh, avoid those wild critters, and if you see a raccoon that's overly friendly and it's frothing at the mouth, et cetera, et cetera. I trained and worked as an emergency room physician in the busiest emergency room in the world at Kings County Hospital in Brooklyn. And I can tell you, I never saw a single case of rabies. Now, whether or not something called rabies actually exists, which I have never seen a case, as I said. However, one thing I'm sure of is that the cure is not to inject somebody with rabies. With the treatments they're injecting into people's belly, that's an immunoglobulin treatment that they're giving them. But, of course, they give this to people, and then they don't get rabies, and they say, oh, they cured the person of rabies. How do you know the person had rabies to begin with?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, even if they sacrifice the dog and they check out the dog's brain, they can say anything they want. They can say, oh, yes, this dog had rabies, and then they give you the shots and you don't get rabies and you think that you were cured of something you never had to begin with. So you have to always ask questions.
How about the more wide-sweeping example, polio? Now, didn't vaccination?
I love that one.
Okay, give us the history of that.
Okay. Well, the polio vaccine, of course, causes polio. As a matter of fact, the reason they stopped giving the oral polio vaccine was because of the fact, and this is even mentioned on the CDC's vaccine information statements, that the oral polio vaccine actually causes polio. They're giving you polio. So that's first of all. And that's the reason that they finally stopped giving it, even though they knew for at least 15 years that the culture media that was being used for that vaccine, which was made out of monkey kidneys, actually contained something called SV40, simian virus 40, a virus which was found to cause many types of cancer, including lymphoma, etc. So not only was the vaccine causing polio, it was also causing cancer because the tissue culture it was being grown on was infected with this organism. So that's first of all. Second of all, polio is another wonderful example of them changing the name. The incidence of polio was going down at the time the polio vaccine was being given because polio is an enteric virus, which means it is spread through the GI tract. If people are infected and they have a bowel movement or they urinate and it goes out into the street, as they had no sanitation back in those days when it was prevalent, this is how the virus was spread.
Like cholera.
Yes, exactly. So the way that polio was decreased and actually eliminated was by having sanitation and toilets being built. But as they started giving the polio vaccine, what they did was change the name of polio caused by the vaccine to something called aseptic meningitis. So when somebody would come down with a condition after they got the vaccine, they would just name it something else. And all of a sudden, it didn't become a complication of the polio vaccine, and therefore it was off the charts as far as, you know, being a side effect of the vaccine. So the polio vaccine is a perfect example. That's the one everybody always asks me about. Well, polio was eradicated because of the polio vaccine. Well, guess what, folks? Polio is not eradicated. As a matter of fact, there's many third world countries where polio is just blooming. And it's blooming for two reasons, one of which is they lack sanitation. But the other reason is because we have people like Bill Gates, who just formed his billion-dollar vaccine fund, which mysteriously ended his litigation with the Justice Department over the Microsoft monopoly. And I'm just sure it's just a coincidence how that worked out. But he and other organizations, including all the major religions now, which have joined together to form a billion-dollar vaccine bond, they're all giving vaccines to these children in third world countries. You know, they're all considered the chattel. These people are not skilled laborers. You know, basically they're just breathing up oxygen. That's how these minions at the top look at these people. And so they're bringing these people who are the last ones that can tolerate insults of vaccination viruses because of the fact that they don't have good nutrition and they're living, you know, in filthy conditions. Those are the children that they're forcing these vaccines on in the name of goodness, oftentimes brought to these countries by the missionaries who come in to do God's work and end up doing the exact opposite once they start forcing these vaccines on the people in the countries.
Or their unregenerate offspring.
Exactly.
Okay, how about the tetanus shot? If you step on a rusty nail, can you speak on that one at all?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, let me say you can ask me about any vaccine, but I will give the same answer for everyone. There is no such thing as a safe or effective vaccine. So when people ask me about individual vaccines, I will be happy to comment, but I just want to make that overall picture that there is no such thing as a safe vaccine, and if your immune system works, you can handle anything. Now, once again, I worked in the busiest trauma center in the United States, if not the world. I never saw a case of tetanus. Now, I'm not saying that there is not such a thing. However, the one thing I am sure of is that the way to avoid it is not to inject yourself with it. As a matter of fact, when I was a young child, I had a situation where I stepped on some chicken wire, which, you know, is very sharp, and it went all the way through my foot. My parents were very poor, and they couldn't afford to take me to the doctor to get a tetanus shot, lucky me. And what my grandmother did for me was she just had me soak my foot in the very hot water with Epsom salts. And what that does is it cleans out the wound all the way to the inside. With any kind of puncture wound like that, what you want to do is keep the wound open until you have a chance for all the bacteria to be cleansed out by soaking it. And Epsom salts is especially effective. Now, at that time, I didn't know about colloidal silver, but if that happened to me today, I would do the same thing. I would be, you know, gulping colloidal silver, and I would be very confident that I would not have a problem. So proper wound care is the way to go. And, of course, the other main thing for people to realize is that the tetanus organism is found in, you know, not only dirt, but dirt that's got feces in it. So, you know, if you're in your house and you cut your arm or something on a glass out of the dishwasher, which broke, you don't have to worry about tetanus. You know, they're giving tetanus shots for everything. Mm-hmm. And there's no such problem that exists if you have a clean wound.
Okay. Another, to me, really disheartening statement in your essay here that I don't doubt. Are they really, in the present vaccines, 13 of them are commonly cultured in aborted fetuses?
Yes.
Oh, man.
The best source that I'm aware of for information on this is a website called cogforlife.org, and that stands for childrenofgodforlife.org. And this is a Catholic organization, and their main focus is to stop vaccines cultured in aborted fetuses. This is pure evil, and of course, this is a spiritual assault, because assuredly, our Creator did not intend us to become cannibals. There's no difference in eating a human as opposed to injecting yourself with a dead human. You're still basically corrupting your body with, you know, human DNA. The problem I have with the Children of God for Life people, I've had many conversations with the woman who runs that website. My point is that all vaccines are a spiritual assault. The aborted fetuses, are the worst. But certainly we were not meant to put this kind of filth in our body, you know, to be injecting ourselves with animal parts. It's basically a witch's brew, you know, chemicals, poisons of different types, dead animals, and parts of organisms. It's totally insane and straight from hell, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I was totally amazed a few weeks ago. A Catholic gentleman who actually not only is a person who protests against abortion, but also brings vaccines into the mix and tells people about the fact that vaccines are cultured on aborted fetuses, actually sent me paperwork from the Vatican. And it's so amazing. I don't have it at hand right at this moment, but they actually talk in this Vatican paperwork how there's many levels of evil. And yes, it's not good for you to, you know, use aborted fetuses to culture vaccines, but if there's no other source of the vaccine, basically the Catholics are given a loophole, you know, to inject themselves with dead babies because, you know, some of the vaccines are not available because they've only been made on aborted fetuses.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they don't offer any proof that vaccines work in the first place. And, you know, they talk about a separation of church and state, and my question is, you know, how is it that the churches are now getting involved with the vaccine issue? You know, this is very interesting, and it just shows the corruption of the major faiths as well. They offer no evidence to prove that vaccines work in the first place, but they're telling their flock that, you know, yes, now you're finding out that they're made on aborted fetuses, but we're going to give you a papal dispensation, you know, to get away with it, because apparently they want that agenda to go through.
Apparently, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was one senator, Dan Burton, who tried to look into this bogus whole vaccination scam, and what happened?
The reason Dan Burton got involved in this is because his grandson is autistic, and his granddaughter had a severe vaccine reaction as well. So he had hearings in Congress in regards to the mercury issue once again. And not only myself, but many of my clients contacted Dan Burton and told him about my work. He's very aware of me, and this is what showed me that even he, although he was personally affected by this, did not have the backbone to go to the highest level and talk about my information. Because, of course, as I said, my information proves there is no such thing as a safe vaccine, that if we stop the inoculation holocaust, most of these diseases will just go away. And I'm sure he would not have survived had he gone there. So he had the hearing, and he did present evidence that mercury's bad. And as I said, mercury's bad. I mean, they had people in the late 1800s using mercury to make the felt tip, the brims of felt tip hats, you know, have that stiffness. And that's where the term Mad Hatter came from, because the people that were exposed to that level of toxic mercury were becoming mad. It does have an effect on the brain, and it causes certain changes, and especially in behavior. However, it does not cause autism. As I said, autism is an autoimmune attack on the myelin in the brain. So Dan Burton started this huge disinformation in terms of mercury, and when he did not go forward with my information or even, you know, bother to contact me, that's when I knew he's either willingly or unwillingly being used as a stooge to perpetrate the disinformation, because if they can get people to believe that mercury's the bad guy, then they'll take out the mercury and everything will be fine.
Sounds
that's their plan.
Like a Hegelian dialectic, maybe.
Exactly. But this is the very interesting thing. I actually found out that MMR vaccine had no mercury from a statement made by a minion very high up in this vaccine propaganda movement. He's a pediatrician by the name of Paul Offit. And he's the one that I actually got the documentation from, that the MMR vaccine has never had mercury. So you see, what they're going to do is they're going to take the mercury out of most vaccines. The autism rate will continue to climb, and they'll say, see, it wasn't due to the mercury, and they'll be right, because it's due to the demyelination. So it's very obvious that this is what their plan is.
Oh, boy. Currently, so far, I think, in this country, you can opt out of getting your children vaccinated on religious reasons. But do you see a time closing in when they're not going to even allow that, these totalitarians?
Well, this is the problem that we're facing. Because of the fact that, you know, they keep telling us it's not a matter of if, but when the bird flu pandemic hit.
Uh-huh.
No matter where you live, I just moved to North Carolina from Florida. And still here in North Carolina, there's oftentimes paper articles. They're letting us know about the progress of the bird flu, where it's spreading to, et cetera, et cetera. So they're getting us ready for the bird flu pandemic, which, of course, will be caused by the bird flu vaccine. So, yes, it's already been mandated in the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, which has been passed in all states as far as I know. It's actually stated in that law that if the governor of any state declares a public health emergency, then the people can be forced to be inoculated with disease. Now, of course, this is the governor practicing medicine without a license, and not to mention the fact that Congress has also exempted the manufacturers of these vaccines from any liability. So here you're going to be forced to have a vaccine against your will. And, of course, there's no religious exemption possible. Just because, you know, you have a religious belief, they're not going to let you out of the mandated bird flu vaccine if that's what the governor decides. And if you're maimed or killed, you will not be able to get any kind of reimbursement, as if there was any reimbursement for that that could be possibly, you know, valuable. You can't pay for somebody's life. So that's what they're planning. But my plan is to get so many people awakened to this fact that it's not going to happen, because if everybody says no, what are they going to do? Yes, they have certain plans to put people in quarantine, and there's all kinds of scary stuff that's out there about concentration camps being built, and I'm sure that a lot of that stuff is happening. But if everybody just said no, there's nothing they could do.
It would have to be the people, the doctors and the pharmacies. They're profiting from it.
Of course. But see, it also is going to be the police and the military who goes around and tries to force people to do this, And that's why it's very important to enlighten those individuals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is that a lot of those people are waking up. You see, it's just like anybody else. Once you're told to do something which you know is pure evil, it's up to you to just say no, whether you're in the military, a police officer, a doctor, whatever. If you know that you're being used to perpetrate evil, it's up to you to say no to it. And it's up to the parents of the children to just say no. And I know that that's what's going to happen. Now, I just want to mention one thing in terms of the religious exemptions. There's actually three types of exemptions possible. There's religious, medical, and philosophical. You can forget getting a medical exemption because any doctor that writes medical exemptions, they take away their license. So that's not going to happen. Philosophical is only in a few states. And that's basically you don't agree with the idea of vaccines. Interestingly, that there's not any kind of exemption based on scientific proven facts that
yeah.
vaccines are causing all these diseases. The problem with the religious exemptions, even for the regular vaccines, is that if 90% of children in any school are not vaccinated, that school will not get federal funding. So what the schools are doing as the vaccination rates are going down, as more people are waking up, is they're now even challenging religious exemptions. I had a client in Brooklyn who had had a religious exemption for his daughter for years. And because of the fact that the vaccine rate was declining in that school, the school actually brought him to Supreme Court and made him prove that he believed in God. And that's how ridiculous it's getting.
Oh.
So that's the reason that I suggest to people that religious exemptions are not, you know, necessarily the way. What I teach my clients to do is to basically, you know, go along with them and say, okay, you want to inoculate my child or whatever the case may be, myself, because there's nurses being forced to be vaccinated to work in hospitals, etc. That's fine. As long as you will sign my document that states that you will be personally responsible for any death or disease caused by the vaccine. And guess what? They will never sign it.
Mm.
And that is what proves that they actually know the danger of what they're doing. But when they refuse to sign your contract, of course, that lets you off the hook, because by them not signing that they will be personally responsible, because all you have to do is bring my documents to the white coat and say, this doctor, and by the way, I'm the only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases in the world, this doctor is proving with her work and her protocol to reverse these diseases that vaccines are causing the problem. Therefore, I don't feel comfortable allowing you to inoculate my child, so you have to take responsibility. Parens parente, it's called, and the government basically is that. That's another whole story by us getting Social Security numbers and
birth certificates and marriage licenses.
And all that. Yes, our children belong to the government.
Yeah.
But when you put these shoes on their foot and say that, you know, if my child dies or has a serious reaction to this vaccine, you have to pay for it out of your pocket,
now,
guess what? They drop it.
Dr. Carley, will that piece of paper that your contract say, when they sign it, does that override the recent legislation that they passed immunizing the pharmacies from being sued?
Well, you see,
pharmaceuticals.
My point is to not neutralize their legislation. We have to tackle this on an individual level because their legislation is totally corrupt from the get-go. The fact that these legislators have so many donations from the pharmaceutical cartels, it's just a giant conflict of interest. So you have to bring it on the individual
targeting
level.
That doctor, that pediatrician.
Right, targeting that doctor who's going to inject your child.
Mm.
Forget the legislation that the Congress has approved. They may have exempted the pharmaceutical cartels, but they haven't exempted the doctors. So, you see, that's the problem I have with the doctors. The doctors are the one perpetrating this evil. They are basically the handmaidens for these, you know, minions who are causing this genocide. If the doctors would stand up, would actually do due diligence and check into what they're actually perpetrating by these drugs that they're giving and just say no, who's going to do it? You see, that would end it right there. The corruption of the medical profession has to be stopped by the doctors. And the good news is that I'm finding many medical doctors, actually, who are investigating other areas. And when we all get together, it's going to be funny how it all works out.
Now, do you provide your clients with that form you're talking about? That contract?
Well, yes, I do have a form, but anybody could make up their own form.
Okay.
You know, all you do is state that, you know, just write up some kind of a document that says whoever the person is, school nurse, principal, pediatrician, you just write their name and say that so-and-so takes full responsibility for any death or disease caused by the vaccination about to be given to the child since the parent has done research and has found that the vaccines are more harmful than any, you know, protection that they could allegedly give. Something to that effect. Yes, I do have a form that I give my clients, but like I said, you can make your own. And it has worked for everybody that's tried it, from preschool to college. Some nurses have used it, and so this is the way that I would go if I was you. But you see, they're getting more and more tough on this. As a matter of fact, I just found out yesterday somebody that I know who's a stewardess for Delta Airlines received a document that she must get a yellow fever vaccine in order to do international flights to South Africa. Now, why they picked yellow fever is beyond me, because there's so many possible diseases that they could, you know, pretend that they're going to be, you know, exposed to as they're just flying in an airplane. But the interesting thing is that they want the personnel from the airlines, the pilots as well as the stewardess, to go to the CDC to get their yellow fever vaccine. And this one stewardess had asked if she could go to her local Department of Health and get the vaccine, and she was told no, they prefer she go right to the CDC. Now, what is the CDC doing, giving out vaccines, and what is special about those vaccines being given to the Delta people? Very interesting. Mm.
Well, that brings me to my last question, then we'll get your website information again.
Okay.
I loved how you wrote in your article. You really went after this Dr. Atkinson, the director of the CDC vaccination program. And what I really appreciated, you said you'd something about you'd like to get him judged in a place where he's not protected by his Masonic judges.
Yes.
Yeah, Yeah, so you also see that as a huge problem in America now.
Yes. Well, basically, there's many secret societies
that
have caused this corruption to become as rampant as it is. And on the national level, it's pretty much the Freemasons. Of course, the lower-level people have no idea what's going on, just like the lower-level doctors have no idea, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, there's basically a carte blanche given to any person who commits any fraud or corruption as long as it's going along with the program of the puppet masters. And yes, it's not going to be in a court of law that people like Dr. Atkinson are going to be found guilty. It's going to be by the people themselves doing their own research and looking with their own eyes at what's going on around them.
Was it you who gave Visigoth this insight? He quotes it from time to time. Visigoth from the Grassy Knoll, the host there. He said, I think he attributed it to you. And if it is the case, you had said that our ruling oligarchs, our Masonic and certain other secret society ruling oligarchs, they like to do things in plain day, right in front of us. Just like 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And because they're such a huge sweeping lie, then we believe it. But they give us hints in plain day also beforehand that only they can interpret, but in some sick way in their value system that exonerates themselves. Was that?
Yes.
It was you.
Yes. It's called serving us with notice and grace, and they do this through the movies a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, just as I told you in the beginning of the show, when I went back into my medical books after catching up on my sleep and having my common sense be in full, you know, proper function, they did it right in Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine. As a matter of fact, I also found in the 1970s version of the book where they actually stated that vaccines do not prevent disease, they give you a chronic case of the disease. So they're putting that information out there, but they're hiding it. It's like I said, you don't see the forest but for the trees, because they're giving you so much other disinformation that you're just losing track of the truth as it's buried. And with the movies, as they're telling us so many things that are true, I always tell people there's more truth in the movies than there is on the news. Of course, just the fact that it's a movie makes some people just believe, okay, well, something happens just the way that they show in the movies, and rather than realize that it's a conspiracy in reality and that they're just showing you what they're doing in the movies, they'll say, oh, it was just a movie, so therefore, you know, it can't be true.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is how they keep the sheep asleep.
And what's that process called? Serving us what?
Serving us with notice and grace. In other words, they're telling us what they're doing.
Yeah, subliminally.
But they're doing it in a covert way, but by their twisted laws, whatever it is that they go by, they're allowed to get away with this as long as they're telling us. Of course, they're putting fluoride in the water and have half the people in the country on psychiatric drugs and are doing all kinds of other behavioral modifications so that you can't think clearly. So the idea that this is sufficient for them to, you know, not be liable for what they're doing is totally insane.
Hmm. Dr. Carley, what's your website again?
DrCarley.com. That's DrCarley.com.
DrCarley.com. All right.
Yeah. And my contact information is on my website, including my email address, and I'd be happy to help anyone with a consult. My protocol reverses autoimmune diseases and cancer, not only in people, but in pets as well, and I have clients all over the world.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Carley, for being here today with us.
Thank you very much. Now the world is too much with me. Please leave, just go away. Or lose my mind completely. Just leave, please go now. Now nothing's sacred anymore. When the demon's breaking down your door, you'll still be staring down at the floor. Not too many.
That is the way things are.